1-800-273-6361. Or feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say,
you stand.
Yeah, Lord, yeah.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, once again, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and into your automobiles and share with you all the kingdom ministry of God. You know, I'm always, every time, you know, I come up here to this studio and get on this microphone and on this broadcast, you know, man, I'm in awe. I'm sitting, but I stand in awe, you know. I stand in awe of the God that we serve. How great is our God? How good is our God? Well, our God is greater and good and better than anything that we could ever come up with, think of, imagine. The Bible says this, our eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of mankind, the love that God has for us, his children. Listen. Sometimes I'm lost for words when I, as that song say, when I think of the goodness of our God. And then that little bit that I've come to the knowledge of, and then come to the know that I've come to the knowledge of is just a drop in a bucket about the size of our galaxy, of how much there is to know. So if that which I know right now, man, brings joy and peace and assurance in my life, I can't even imagine more. If that's just a drop in the bucket, how much more that he has in store for us. Well, that songwriter was right, boy. Our God is a great God. My mama used to sing a song, man, and it's still ringing in my ear today, boy. It used to go a little something like this. My God is a good God, yes, he is. My God is a good God, yes, he is. My God is a good God. My God is a good God. My God is a good God. Yes, he is. She used to say another little thing to it. My God is a saving God. Yes, he is. My God is a saving God. Yes, he is. My God is a saving God. My God is a saving God. My God is a saving God. Yes, he is. She used to add one more little note to it. It went like this. My God is a healing God. Yes, he is. My God is a healing God. Yes, he is. My God is a healing God. My God is a healing God. My God is a healing God. Yes, he is. Yeah. Hallelujah. That and so much more. Well, our God is great. How great is our God? Let me just start right now and just give him his props. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for how great you are and for all that you've done for us. You've redeemed our life from destruction. All the destruction that's in this world, that we were born, trained, conditioned, taught to think and operate like. This world is on a collision course, and it's headed for destruction. But you, Father, in your grace and your kindness and your mercy, has redeemed our life from this destruction. And not only have you redeemed our life from the destruction, my Father, but you have restored back to us everything that we lost in Adam. You restored back to us a kingdom. You restored back to us a personal relationship with you. You restored back to us the access to come boldly into your presence without any sense of guilt or condemnation. You restored back to us our sovereignty, our dominion, our royal power. You restored back to us the Holy Spirit. You not only have you redeemed our life from destruction, but you restored back to us everything that we lost in the fall, Father. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. And thank you, Father, for allowing me this opportunity to come on this radio and share with such distinguished men and women, such mighty men and women, such kings and queens, such mighty sons and daughters of the Most High God, your love for all of us. Not only the good news about Jesus and what he did for us, that's great right there, but you still even told us something even greater, that what all that brings to us, all of our inheritance, all that we have, Father, heirs of you and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, that not only may we rejoice over what he did, but we rejoice, Father, even more so over the results of it and the benefits of it to our lives, Father. Therefore, Father, I count it an honor and a privilege that you would allow me to come on this radio broadcast and share with your people the kingdom ministry of God to our lives. An end time message. You said in your word that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end gonna come. So, Father, right now I humble myself once again under your mighty hands, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this studio. You're welcome in my heart and in my life. Now I give you free reign. You minister. Through these lips of clay, you exalt, you save, you heal, you deliver, you provide as I give you free reign. Less of me and more of you to the place, Father, where it become none of me and all of you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Once again, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, it's a joy. It really is a joy. And listen, before we get started, I'd like to congratulate say a few things, you know. For the last month, in the month of April, you know, we was having our mayoral election in the town of my little hometown, Bunker, Louisiana. And we was campaigning for a candidate there, Brenda Sampson Callahan. And she was on the radio broadcast with us for a few weeks. Well, in fact, all of last month, you know, and sharing with y'all her vision and her desire, because she was a candidate. But I come on here to tell you great news today, you know, those of you who have participated and a part of it, that she won, you know. And now we have a new mayor in the town of Bunker, you know, a new beginning, you know. I think I kind of remember this. I'm not sure. But I think when I graduated, that was a long time ago, 50 years ago. I think our graduation song was We've Only Just Begun, you know. And after the results of that election and she was announced as the mayor of the town of Bunker, you know, then it's the first thing came to my heart. We've only just begun. We've only just begun to a new beginning, to bring change, to bring unity, to bring, man, growth and development, to bring grace and mercy, and most important, man, to bring men and women into a closer and greater relationship with the God that we serve. Listen, I say this carefully. Not a religion. Not to bring you into a religion. Not to get you to join a church or go to somebody's church. But to bring you, man, into a personal relationship with the Most High God. But before you find you a church home or before you go to church, that you can go to God yourself, that you can talk to him yourself, that you can start a personal relationship with your Father yourself right there where you are. It don't matter where you are. You can be in your home. You can be incarcerated. You can be on your sick bed. You can be, it don't matter where you are. You can be lost. You could be saved. You could be the worst sinner in the world. You could be the best Christian in the world. What God wants most of all is for a personal relationship with you. He wants a man to be able to usher you back into the Garden of Eden so that he can walk and talk with you in the cool of the day, all the days of your life, forever and ever and ever and ever. And all this takes place in beginnings. And here now, you know, even as a new governing administration that we have in our town of Bunker, that's a new beginning. Not only for, you know, the governing the system of our community to be governed or we believe to be even more fairly and equally toward we, the people of the community, the citizens of the community. But even greater, you know, that we come to the knowledge that we are the governing system and the governing agency of God, of the kingdom of heaven. So I welcome this new administration. I congratulate Mayor Sampson for her victory, you know, and for the things that she has in store for our community. And I also want to acknowledge all of you and all of those who supported her and got behind her in her vote, that you know this, that we've only just begun. Now it's time for us now to really get involved in it, find out, you know, and make sure that you see and understand what her vision is. And hopefully we'll bring her on next week, you know, to share a little bit, to say thank you to you all who supported her, and to come and share with us, you know, in a more detailed way, now that she's mayor of Bunker, what her vision is for our community. Because listen, you know, the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. So we, you know, and as we can make the vision plain, then we can write it down, and then we can run with it. Then that's what is most important. So we got past the first hurdle. We got a new administration in there. Now it's time for the work. It just don't happen, man, because we got a new administration. It happens when we get involved in the new administration, that we find their vision and that man, that vision, and we get in and help them accomplish that vision. They can't do it by themselves. They're not going to take just a mayor of any community. They're going to take the mayor and the community and the citizens of the community to work together in accomplishing a common goal, you know. And that's a better governance system, which will in turn produce a better community, a better town, better citizens, better people, better lives. So again, I congratulate, you know, formerly Councilwoman Brenda Sampson as the mayor of Bunker, Louisiana. God bless you, and may God be with you in everything that you put your hand to. May it prosper in the name of Jesus. Hey, listen, I also would like to share with you while I'm right here making a few announcements that I say this is new beginnings. It's beginning for businesses and opportunities to be established and set up in our communities. And I want to share with you all a dear friend of ours, you know, a well-known citizen in our community, Ms. Shayla Williams at Body Works, has opened up a salon in the Bunker area there, you know, in the Lion Shopping Center, formerly known as the Piggly Wiggly Shopping Center. And she's just opened up a business down there, and the name of her business is Body Works, a balanced bar. And it says, you know, Body Works Balanced Bar is the home of the touchless massage. We offer aqua massage, hydro massage, massage chairs, sauna, domes, detox, and V-system services. Body Works Balanced Bar is excited to offer our service right here and right there in the Bunker, Louisiana hour. They say that their highlight services are aqua massage, pain reductions, increases circulations and muscle tensions, and relieves stress, anxiety, and relief and aid in weight loss. The hydro massage is a pain reduction, stress, anxiety, relief, muscle recovery, and can aid in weight loss as well. The other one that we, again, I mentioned was a massage chair there. And the important things is, as they said in their flyer, that the COVID
precautions taken by covering surfaces and disposable sheets and cleaning and sanitizing equipment after every client. Masks recommended, not required unless it's mandated. Appointments referred, but walk-ins are welcome. And once again, they are located at 125 Chevy Lane, Bunky, Louisiana. Body Works Balance Bar. And you can email them at bodyworksbalancebar@gmail.com. Their phone number is 318-295-2042. Once again, their phone number is 318-295-2042. And they offer, like I say, the massage chairs. Their prices are $20. The acquaintance massage is $25. The hydro massage is $25. The V-Steam, Yona Steam, is $35. The V-Steam package was $45. And a sauna dome or bag detox is $40. These are excellent prices. And listen, by the way, it's Mother's Day today, and it would be good for, you know, you all to treat your wives, your sisters, your mothers, to what I believe would be a great experience. So once again, I'd like to let those of you in the Bunky community know that Ms. Shayla Williams has opened up her business, Body Works, right there in the Piggly Wiggly Shopping Center. Go by and visit them and let them know that that you heard of us, them, that just let them know that we announced it, that you heard it over the radio. We greatly appreciate that. Hey, listen, God bless that business. May everything that she put her hand to prosper to. May the town of Bunky begin to grow. May other people in my community and other small communities come up with inspired ideas that will cause growth and development in their community too. Listen, the word of God says this, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper and that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the word of the Lord. God wants us to prosper, and not just in finances, but in every area of our lives. Prosper in the peace, prosper in your joy, prosper in your relationship with God, prosper in your relationship one with another, prosper in everything that you put your hand to. And also that we might be in health, that we don't not just live long, but that we live long and strong and fulfilling, man, our purpose if we're going to be a purpose on the earth. Hey, listen, I'm excited about the changes that's taking place not only in my community, but I believe in other communities as well, you know. For we are entering into, man, the if I can say it in this way, the manifestation of the age of change. Where change is king. Where we are repenting, you know. The word repent means to change. To change what you're doing, to change how you're doing it. But it starts in your thinking first. For as a man think in his heart, so is he. So he say, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper and be in health, but even as your soul prosper. I mean, as your mind and your will and your emotions and your attitude and your knowledge and understanding, even as that prosper. So that you can know the truth. Because see, it's not the truth that sets us free. It's you that know the truth. He say, you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall set you free. That's why a lot of times, you know, in the area that we're being destroyed in or defeated in most areas, you know, it's because of a lack of knowledge. God said it this way. My people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't know that they can. They don't know, or they don't think this way, that we can be the mayor of a town or a community. Most black youth, they don't think that way. But in repenting and thinking, that's why I say I'm glad for the victory that we're seeing and that we're having right now and that's taking place right now, that not only is change taking in manifestation, but minds and wills and emotions and attitudes are changing too. To instead of thinking that we can't, we start thinking that we can. Instead of thinking that we won't, we start thinking that we will. Instead of thinking, man, that we lost trying to get saved, we start thinking that we are saved and living, man, the saved life. Instead of thinking that we are sick trying to get healed, we start thinking that we are the healed. and the devil trying to steal our health from us. Instead of thinking, man, like we the lost, we start thinking like we the saved. Instead of thinking like the unrighteous, we start thinking that we are the righteousness of God. And start thinking, man, you know, defeat, we'll start thinking victory. Instead of thinking all the negative things that will come toward us and come at us, man, we'll start thinking the thoughts of God. We'll start thinking, man, about ourselves, about one another, the way God thinks about us. And the word said this, these are the thoughts that I have towards you, said the Lord. Their thoughts again to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And when you call upon me, I'll answer you. And watch this. He's saying, when you seek me, you'll find me. And when you seek me with your whole heart, not only will you find me, but you'll find all that I have in store for you. I told you our eyes have not seen, and our ears have not heard, nor has it entered into our hearts the thing that our Father has in store for us. Listen, we've only just begun. The Bible says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end gonna come. Here's one thing about the gospel of the kingdom, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why it's not the central focus of every message, which it should be, because, man, this word here is not just with enticing words of man's wisdom and his ability to articulate the words and how he do it to stir up emotion. No, this gospel of the kingdom, boy, must be preached not with just enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and in power. I'm going to say that again. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end going to come. And when it's preached, boy, it's not just enticing words of man's wisdom or our knowledge or our ability to articulate the word of God to stir up your emotions. You can get a motivational speaker to do that. You can go to a seminar and do that. You can go to No, it's a demonstration in power. Listen, Jesus was not only, man, preaching that the kingdom of heaven was available to us. He was demonstrating. He said, ain't no sickness in the kingdom of heaven. So they brought the sick to him, and the Bible says, all those that came to him, he healed them all. Ain't no demons and devils in heaven, man. You know, boy, let me tell you something. Them brought them demon-possessed people to him, man, he cast them out. Wouldn't even let them talk. Ain't no death in heaven, man. Them days when they crucified a brother, he got up 3 days later. In fact, he told him. He even gave him the time. 3 days. Just started. In fact, he said, can't nobody take my life from me. I lay my life down. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I'm going to say that again. I think that's the direction that we're going to go in. He said, listen, ain't nobody take my life from me. I lay my life down. Right. Ain't no death in the kingdom. And just like I laid my life down, man, you know, I got a promise from my Father that I'm going to break. He's going to raise my life back up again. So I gladly lay my life down because I know that I'm going to take it back up again. In fact, I'll tell you, in 3 days, I'm going to take it back up again. Why? Because there ain't no death in the kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. So they crucified him, baby. Let me tell you something. 3 days later, he got up. It was in demonstration and in power. He was demonstrating that. You know, when he got up, that's a holiday that we just got through celebrating. And, you know, this past month. I wanted to get into it, but we didn't get a chance to because, anyway, that was a holiday that we just come through, Easter Sunday. You know, and most people, you know, they celebrate the holiday, but, you know, even us as Christians, I don't like that word, even us as believers, you know, and children of the Most High God, like I heard my brother saying before I came on the radio broadcast, that, man, we let corruption creep right on into boy, what's sacred and what's holy and what, and we didn't, man, been converted and allow, man, the world system and the world ideas and the world thinking and the world way of doing things to come and join in, man, with God's way of doing things. Tell me, man, we had more celebration of Easter, man, as a pagan holiday than, man, and the people don't even know what it's all about. Listen, boy, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, man, that was, man, the greatest victory of all. Man, him being born was a great thing. Him opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears and casting out devils and healing all kinds of sickness. All those were great things, boy. But the greatest thing of all that he did, man, was, boy, when he got up, man, from the dead. Boy, listen, that destroyed the works of the devil. You know what the work of the devil is? The work of the devil is to separate you from God, to separate you from your source, to have happen to you the same thing that happened to him in eternity past. Listen, in eternity past, man, Satan was more the archangel. He was the most powerful angel of all. He was made man. Listen, like I heard Bishop say, boy, when he was created, man, there wasn't no evil in him until iniquity was found in it. He wanted to declare independence from God. He wanted to be a God himself. And he declared independence from God. And you know the story. He got separated from God. He got kicked out of man. He wasn't just in heaven. He was in the Mount of God. He was in the Eden in heaven. He was in the literal presence of the Most High God. He was the most anointed cherub out of them all. Until iniquity was found in him. Until pride was found in him. And the results of that man was he declared independence from God himself. He purposely declared that himself. And as a result of that, Bible say war took place in heaven. This is in eternity past. That perhaps most of you don't know a lot about it. And I'm going to say my people being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Satan got kicked out of heaven. And he landed on the earth. And the earth became void and without shape. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. What was that, man? That was death. That's how death originated. The death that I'm talking about is not physical death. The death that I'm talking about is spiritual death, the greatest death of all, the father of all death, spiritual death. What's spiritual death? Separation from God. That's what happened to Satan. He got separated from God. He got separated from the very presence of God. He was in the Garden of Eden in heaven. He was in Eden in heaven. It wasn't a garden. He was in the Eden is an atmosphere and an environment that comes from being in the literal presence of the Most High God. That environment and that atmosphere. Can you imagine that? No, you can't begin to imagine that, but we can't even grasp the fullness of that, you know, that atmosphere, that environment. But God, he got put out of there. He got separated from God. Spiritual death. And his work was this, man, you know, to come down to this earth, boy, when mankind was born, to get happen to mankind, the same thing that happened to him was to declare independence from God. He said, I'm going to be a God myself. And when he said that, let me tell you something. There ain't but one God. You know the scripture. Many places in the Bible say, behold, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. He said, fix this in your mind. I'm God, and there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and my counsel is going to stand. I finish even before I start. Ain't no other God. Can't be no other God. It might be some offsprings of God, but you ain't no be no other God. That's one thing God can't do. He can't create another God. He can create some offspring, but he can't create another God because there ain't no room for no other God. Ain't but one God. And he's the source of everything. And anything that's separated from him begins to die. In order for something to maintain life, it got to stay hooked up to its source. In order for a plant to stay alive, it got to stay hooked up to the ground. That's its source. In order for mankind to stay vibrant and live the way God wants him to live and intends for him to live, got to stay hooked up to his source. In order for Satan to carry out what is what God will and design and purpose for his life was, man, to honor him, to worship him, to have all of the angelic host, boy, just to adore, boy, the Most High God all the time. If he's not hooked up to God, he can't do that. He got separated from God. He no longer was the praise and worship leader of heaven then, man. He was the deceiver of all mankind. And boy, when he came down to this race, man, and God made man, and God planted a garden, and God placed you and I in that garden called Eden. What's Eden? That's a personal relationship with God, in the one-on-one relationship with God. Listen, when God and Adam and Eve had a relationship in the garden, it wasn't in the church building. They were walking and talking with Adam in the cool of the day, every day, unbroken fellowship, joined together. They was one. They was hooked up. The work of the devil, boy, is to get happen to them the same thing that happened to them, to separate Adam and Eve, man, from their source, from the Father, from God. So he came down to this earth, man, with his little stuff, and you know the story, all of the stories about the apple and Eve, them eating off the apple and then the serpent and all that. You know that, but you don't know what's really going on. Boy, that was the devil, man, coming down there, boy, to get them to declare independence from God. Like he did. unbeknownly to them what would the result would be. That's why he didn't lie to them, he deceived them. A deception is greater than a lie. A deception is a little bit of truth mixed with a lie, just enough to fool you. Just enough truth to fool you, man, so that you don't see the lie. That's how he got them to do what he did. He deceived them. And he got them to declare independence from God. The woman say, hey, listen, he told them this, what God said. And he told them, and they start telling them what God said. And then he told them, man, hey, God didn't mean that. God know that if you eat off that tree, then you're going to be a God yourself. You're going to be just like him. You're going to know good and evil, and you will be just like him. You will be a God yourself. And then when you know good and evil, then you won't have to depend upon God. You will be a God yourself. The Bible said, boy, it was a fruit to be desired. That was something to desire, to be a God. You mean to tell me I can be a God too? I don't have to be a subject to God. You mean to tell me I can be a God? Yes. That's what the devil told you. Yeah, you would be a God too. And he deceived him. She took and ate and then nothing happened. And then nothing happened, man. Then she took and gave to her husband. And when her husband ate, man, then they found out, boy, that they were no longer, man, holy and without blame. They were no longer, man, pure. They were deceived. And they saw that they were naked. Not in the physical sense that you know. They saw, man, that they were no longer in right standings with God. That they had lost their robe of righteousness. And as a result of it, man, you know, it caused them to be put out of the Garden of Eden. Just like Satan got put out of the Eden in heaven and cast down to the earth, and earth was void and without shape. Same thing with Adam and Eve, man. When they rebelled against the known will of God, when they declared independence of themselves, when they say we're going to be God ourselves, they got put out of the Garden of Eden, man, and out into the wilderness. Land barren. Everything had to be done and worked by the sweat of their brow. What happened, man? They got separated from God. What's that? That's death. And as a result of that death, what's that? What kind of death is that, Arthur? That's spiritual death, separation from God. That's the greatest of all. And after spiritual death, 969 years, man is the longest record that we have that mankind lived. Mankind lived, man, up to 969 years. But then, man, his body died. What was the first death? Spiritual death, separation from God. And when he got separated from God, then his body began to decay, began to grow old, began to be feeble and weak and everything else. What happening now, man? You know, physical death is setting in. Why? Because it's no longer hooked to the soil. Just like a plant. If you pull it out the ground, it stay green when you first pull it out the ground, but then instantly it start decaying. It start withering away. It start dying. Why? Because it's disconnected from its source. Same thing with us, man. When we got disconnected from, Adam got disconnected from his source, then mankind began to live 900, 800, 700, 600, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, down to the zero. Man began to die physically. That's physical death. That's the child of physical death, of spiritual death. Let me say it in a different way. Spiritual death is the parent of physical death. If Adam never would have got separated from God, he never would have died physically. And then there's a third death called eternal death. The first death is spiritual death, separation from God. And that result in mankind dying, or spiritually dead. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Spiritually separated from God. And as a result of it, then, man, death is appointed unto all of us. God told Adam, man, when he announced the curse of them in the garden, he didn't curse Adam. He didn't curse man. He didn't curse Adam. He didn't curse mankind. He said, curse this the ground for your sake. What? In other words, he's saying your body going to go back to the ground. From the dust it came, from the dust it's going to go back. What? He didn't curse Adam. He cursed the ground, the body. Say, because you are separated from me, spiritually dead, then your body is cursed. What? You're going to wither away and die. Not you, Adam. But your house, your body, it's going to wither away and die. Why? Because it's cursed now. Why? It's separated from me. And then that's that third one I was telling you, eternal death. That's to be separated from God for eternity, never having any hope, never having any chance of being reconciled back to God. That's going into eternity. That's another story that we'll talk about in time. But that's being eternally separated from God. Right now, there's hope. Right now, you live in a dispensation of the grace of God. Well, boy, I'm talking about, boy, the call is going out to every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl. You who were dead in trespass and sin, come. Come, man, and eat from the bread of life and drink from the rivers of life, man. Living waters, man. Come. Though your sins be like scarlet, though, man, you're down and out, though you're the worst person, come. What? Come get, man, redeemed from this life of destruction. Come get your life back. Come get reconciled back to the God. Come get repotted back to God, boy. The way has been made. The work of the devil has been destroyed. What he did separated us from God. That's why when Jesus came, that's what he was coming for. The Bible told, boy, that devil, he said, listen, boy, you might deceive that woman, but that seed of that woman gonna bruise your head. He's going to tear your head off your shoulder. All the authority that Adam gave you and the dominion that Adam gave you, that I gave to Adam in the garden over the whole earth, that he turned over and gave to you and gave you, and now you have the authority. Boy, that seed of that woman going to come and take back that authority and bruise your head. Going to cut your head off. Head mean authority. See, the God of this world system that we live in this earth right here and all the stuff that we're in, the God of this system is the devil. He set this up to where it is. This ain't how God wanted it to be. All right. God's will for it to be on earth as it is in heaven. That's his will. That's always been his will. It's going to continue to be his will. And his will be done, baby. There ain't a devil in hell, nothing no devil can do to alter what the will of God for our life. Excuse me. I quote this again. Our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard, nor has it entered into our hearts the things that our Father has in store for us. That even though it's appointed unto man once to die, listen, after that, what? The resurrection. But I told you the coming of Jesus was great. The thing that Jesus bought was great. What he bought? He bought the governing of heaven on his shoulder. He bought the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. He bought the ruling authority of God. He bought God's original plan and God's original purpose and God's original desire for our life. He brought that back to the earth. That's the government he had on his shoulder. Not what happened, man, after the devil deceived Eve and plunged us into what we have here. He bought, man, what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before Adam and Eve them ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They was in unbroken fellowship with God. Or they was in a personal relationship with their source and their sustainer, the Most High God. They were walking and talking with him in the cool of the day, no unbroken fellowship. And watch this, with sovereignty. What's sovereignty? Sovereign means complete. Reign means rule. That's two words put together. Sovereign reign. Sovereignty. What that mean? Complete rule. Mankind had complete rule. God said, let's make them in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion. What? Complete rule. Over what? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Over all the earth and all that the earth consists of. Let them have dominion. Complete rule over it. Let them be the little gods, the little G gods, my little children that has my character and nature, not God all themselves and independent of me, but little offsprings of God, little G gods, little children of the Most High God. With what? The same character, the same nature as the big G God, the Most High God. With what? The same likeness, the same functioning of principle as him. To do what? To rule and reign over our territory. Just like he ruled and reigned over his territory. He said, the heavens is mine, but the earth is my children. Lord. Well, we had, he not only man gave us the earth, but he gave us an assignment. What was that assignment, man? To colonize earth with heaven. To make earth a colony of heaven. To make it on earth just like it is in heaven. And boy, God planted it. God planted what? He planted, boy, the Garden of Eden. He planted a little carbon copy of heaven, man. You know, an atmosphere and an environment of heaven. That's what Eden is. It's not a geographical location. I can't say it's over here, just like you can't say the kingdom is over here. It's a geographical, it's an environment and an atmosphere that comes from the literal presence of the Most High God. I ain't talking about like the song we sang, the presence of the Lord. I'm talking about the literal presence of the Most High God, that atmosphere and that environment. Can you imagine what it'd be like, man, in the presence of the Lord? We call it going to heaven, man. I'm talking about, man, Jesus called it, man, I couldn't bring heaven to you. I couldn't bring that back to you because that's what Adam and them had in the garden. They was in the literal presence of the Most High God. Hooked up to God. Hooked up to the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Hooked up to all the resources, man, of God and all the attributes of heaven with the ability, man, to make it in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. What's that? That's dominion. That's complete rule. That's sovereignty. And boy, and Adam gave that sovereignty, that dominion over to the devil. And instead of being on earth as it is in heaven, it's on earth as it is here now. But God made a promise, boy, even before he became this way. He told that devil, as I told you earlier, boy, you might have tricked him and you might have deceived him and you might, you know, bruised they heal and they walk, and instead of them becoming how I decided to be, it might, man, become all the way totally different. Instead of them walking upright before me and walking like I desire for them to walk and being like I desire for it to be on their life, you're going to bruise they heal, but boy, that seed going to bruise your head. You're going to take back your authority. That authority that Adam gave you, and he's gonna give it back to who it belonged to. That's why Jesus came. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin, and redeemed our lives from that destruction. Boy, he came. The very fact that he came was the fulfillment of that promise. And then after he grew in the grace of God and grew in the Lord and went through a divine process, born of the Spirit, received the Spirit, grew in the Spirit, then was baptized in the Spirit, then was filled with the Spirit, then was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and then that seventh and final divine process, then he returned, boy, after he put the devil on his feet in the power of the Spirit. And from that time forth, he began to proclaim to every man, every woman, and every boy and the girl, that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of Jubilee. All debt canceled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that you lost, man, restored back to you. All prison doors open, man, the captives set free. What it was, boy, a brand new beginning. Just like I thought this broadcast, oh, boy, new administration, new everything. A brand new beginning. But he come and say, boy, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. What you mean poor? I ain't talking about money and cars and houses. I'm talking about poor in spirit. Don't know what's really going on. Don't know what you really have. Don't know what you really can do. Don't know. Being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Poor in spirit. What's the gospel? You don't have to be poor no more. You can come to the knowledge of the truth, boy, and you can get back on top. You can repent. What repent means? Come back to the top way of thinking, the top way of living, the top way of rolling, the top way of acting, the top way of talking, the top way of governing, man. Come back to God's original plan and desire and will for your life. Why are we not in there? Because you're separated from God. The only way you can get back into that is to be reconciled back to God. Now, if you pull a plant up out the ground, it starts dying. But if you repot it and replant it and nourish it and fertilize it and put it back in the ground before it withers away and gone, then, boy, it'll reconnect and it'll start growing back up again. That's why I told you, boy, Jesus kind of destroyed the work of the devil. The devil, man, pulled us out the pot. He pulled us out, got us out of the Garden of Eden, deceived us and tricked us and caused us to be put out of the Garden of Eden, separated from God. But when Jesus Christ came, he come, man, preached, man, that I come to bring everything back. I come, man, to start a new beginning. Behold, all things are passed away and all things are become new. And that boy, he taught about the new world way of living. He told him about it. He is here. I come to bring back, boy, everything that you lost. I come to restore back to you, not just to redeem your life, but the greater, to restore back to you everything that you lost. I come to get it back for you. I come to restore it back to you. And he was teaching them all about that for them 3.5 years after he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost and began to proclaim, man, the gospel of the kingdom. Then he began, man, to teach them, man, how the kingdom functions. When he was preaching and teaching, he wasn't talking about him like what we do in all our service. Most of our service, man, all we do is preach about Jesus. And we know how Jesus is and how great he is, and we worship him and we honor him and all that's a good thing. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you can do. You don't know that don't matter what color you are, if you're white or black or green or yellow, man, that you as a black person, you can be the mayor of your community too. You can, you can win too. You can succeed too. You don't have to be poor no more. In no area of your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your relationship, in nothing. Everything has been restored back. The banquet, the table, and everything is set. All you got to do, boy, is come to the knowledge of it and come eat off the tree of life, man. See, in that garden that Adam and Eve was in, it was another tree in there called the tree of life. That's everlasting life. You know what that tree is? That's what the king said. That's a tree of life. I ain't talking about what the devil said to Eve. And I ain't talking about what man, Moses said and what Jeremiah said and Noah said and Ezekiel said. Thank God for all of that, man. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the tree of life. That's what God said itself. See, in time past, he spoke to us through the prophet. But, boy, that which was from the beginning, he wasn't speaking through no prophet. He was speaking himself. But I told you, he wanted a personal relationship with you. That's the first and foremost thing, boy. Now, if he get a personal relationship with you, then he'll give you pastors after his own heart and where you can grow up at. And he ain't sending you to church to have no church. He's sending you to church, man, to learn how to be the church, glory to God. How to be the mighty man and woman of God that we are. How to live like we're supposed to live. How to talk like we're supposed to talk. How to act like we're supposed to act. How to be like we're supposed to be. How to know that, man, that, boy, what Jesus Christ come to bring that life back for us. And, boy, he taught how to live and after how to function in it and the functioning principles of it, the keys, the everything that governs it and everything else. And then, there's a problem. What? They men still separated from God. Why? Because of sin. What gave men still dead? Why? Because of sin. What you mean, Arthur? What gave death its power? Sin. Sin was gave death its power. When God told Adam and Eve about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, listen, he said, listen, he introduced death to mankind, not the devil. Death was introduced to him. He said, listen, here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat out that tree, you're going to surely die. So God introduced Adam to death. And he told him, say, hey, death was in the garden. But death was like a bumblebee flying around in a garden that don't have no stinger. Can you imagine that? Some of them bumblebees are pretty, you know, got the gold color, the black color, and everything just flying around and everything else. But can you imagine a bumblebee without a stinger? You don't have no power. You wouldn't be afraid of it no more. You wouldn't run from it no more. Why? Because even though it's there, it don't have no power. Why? Because it don't have no stinger. So death was in the garden just like a bumblebee without a stinger. It didn't have no power. What gave it its power is sin. What sin meant? To rebel against the will of God. So when Adam and them rebelled against what God's will was for their life, then that's what gave death its power to kill. The Bible said this way, through one man's disobedience, death came upon all men. And that through that disobedience, all men must face, man, death. What? Born in sin and separated from God, shaped in iniquity, spiritual death. Because of one man's disobedience, sin came upon the whole human race. And the penalty for sin is death. But, I like that conjunction word, but. Because whenever you see two sentences joined together, man, and in between them is but, what's up on the end of the but nullifies what's up on the first part of the but. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Even though, boy, death was there, man, mankind, man, through its disobedience, gave death its power to kill. That boy, but boy, God, man, let me tell you something, boy, the counsel of the Lord is going to stand. There's also another tree in that bank called a tree of life. And that tree of life, man, is what the God said. And here's what God said, even before that was in it, even before they ate out the death, let's make them just like us. And let's give them, man, dominion over their territory, right? So that they can be in their territory just like it is in our territory. So that they can be on earth just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That's God. That's the tree of life. That's what God said first. Anything that happened after that can't nullify what God said. His plan might change, you know, encompassing, man, what he said, but his purpose, man, is eternal. Sometimes you change man's plans, but his purpose is eternal. That counsel going to stand, baby. That's how it's going to be. In fact, that's what it's becoming. He going to have what he said. That's the word of the Lord. That's the tree of life. So you say, I can't let you eat out the tree of life no more, because if you eat out the tree of life, you live forever in that fallen state, and there won't be nothing I can do to redeem your life. So what he do, man? He say, listen, man, to destroy the work of the devil. What's the work of the devil, boy? Death. Death to all mankind. Separation from God. Listen, what gives death its power is sin. Now watch what the Bible says. And this is what gives sin its power. And the strength of sin is the law. That's in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I got to tell you, I don't know the Bible. I don't have it in me in chapter and verse. It's just in me, in my heart, in my spirit. Okay, I can quote you nothing but scripture on this. Everything I say on here is the word of God. I don't tell you chapter and verse, well, because I got it out of chapter and verse and got it on the inside of me. So that it might preserve me, so that it might keep me. But the Bible says, death, man, sin gave death its power. And the strength of sin is the law. That's another teaching right there. I don't have time to go into that, boy. And what gave sin is the law. And we all broke the law. So we all sinned, and because of that, then death had its power. Now, to destroy death, you got to destroy that which gave it its power. What? Sin. And what gives sin its power? The law. But here comes Jesus, tempted in all points, just like all of us, made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin. So listen, boy, listen. That's why you say, man, as I start this broadcast with, man, ain't no man take my life from me. I lay my life down. And I got the power to take my life back up again. Because what gives death its power is sin. Jesus ain't had no sin in him. So death ain't had no authority, no power, no control over him. Couldn't touch him. Even though it was all around him, boy, it was like a bumblebee without a stinger. That's why the Bible says, oh, death, where you stain? Great, where your victory at? Couldn't touch Jesus. He didn't have no sin in him. Glory to God. But, boy, he said a long time ago, before that was a year or a day, man, he knew that he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He said, my family lost, boy. He said, my God's delight was in me, and my delight was in the sons of man with my children. Just like my father pleased with me and loved me, man, I love my family, my brothers and sisters. So he took of himself the same nature, the same character of us, and became flesh and blood just like us, man. To man pay the penalty for sin. To take upon him, his body, the sins of the whole human race. So here's this guy, man, without sin. And death don't have no power of, can't touch him. They tried to take him through the mountain one time and throw him off the cliff. Baby, the Bible says he walked right through the midst of him. My time ain't yet. Can't touch this. I lay my life down and I take it back up again. I got power over death. Mankind's greatest enemy. And boy, he come, boy, and he took upon him the sins of the whole human race. All our sins, all our disobedience, all our faults, all our mistakes, and placed it upon him and nailed it to a tree, a cross. And listen, this is what he did in return. He took all our sins upon himself and took all his righteousness, all the righteousness that he had, all the sinlessness that he was here, and placed it upon us. He took our sins and then he took and gave us his righteousness. So now sin has power over him. Why? Because he got all our sins. And boy, listen, boy, Yeah, that's, I don't have the time to really tell you. We're maybe to take it up next week. But boy, let me tell you something. We talk about Good Friday, how he died for our sin, and we talk about Sunday, how he rose from the dead. I don't never hear nobody talking about what went down on Saturday. I'll tell you what went down on Saturday, boy. I'm talking about, boy, he went down into the regions of the damned, man, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil, man. He destroyed, like that God told that woman in the beginning, boy, that seed of the woman was going to bruise your head, boy. That was happening on Saturday, man. I'm talking about he went down into the regions of the damned, and all those who were in bondage to death all our lives, man. The Bible says he preached to them, man, and the word of life. And when he came out of heaven, he came out and led a petition, man, that was with him, man. He brought all them out. He went down there to preach to the souls who were in bondage to death, boy. And I'm talking about, man, brought them out of death, man, and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, the authority that the devil had, took all that from him. And then on the third day, Sunday morning, he rose up and said, now all power is given unto me. Power in heaven, all the powers of heaven. Power on earth, that's all the ability to reign on earth, and even powers under the earth, even over death. Mankind greater than him. So what he did? He destroyed death. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 say, oh, death, where's your sting? Where's your victory? As I close, let me just say this with you. Watch what happened. He took his righteousness, and listen, what gave death its power? Sin. What gave sin its authority? The law. What did Jesus do? He came in, man. He was yet without sin. So he took his righteousness and gave it to us, and he died for our sin. Now listen to this, because this is what the whole thing. Now you without sin. All your sins are covered and paid for. The Bible says, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin, and in exchange made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness you ever going to get, man. So the sin problem is taken care of. So if sin what gave death its power, and non-sin is the destroyed death, you got to take away that which gave it its power. Jesus took away sin over your life. Sin's power over our life. So death don't have no more authority over you. Death don't have no more power over you. You got everlasting life. And the very fact that he was risen on Sunday morning, boy, it's the greatest proof, man, that death power has been destroyed and that you have everlasting life and that it ain't no grave going to ever be able to hold your body down. That, boy, you got, I'm talking about the greatest gift of all, boy, is the gift of life. The penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and it was sealed and guaranteed to us, boy, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to what he said. And you, talking about me and you and the human race, who was dead in trespasses and sin. That's in Ephesians. Has God raised up, chapter 2 or chapter 1. You know, man, where it's in me. It's in the word. It's the word of God. And you, talking about us, who was dead in trespasses and sin, has God raised up. Has God raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Listen where God raised him up and seated him at. He not only raised him from the dead, but listen to what he did when he raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Next in authority to the Most High God. Set him at his right hand, far above all principalities and powers and dominions and might, far above the devil and all his demon cohorts and all the works of the devil, all his circumstances, his situations, his symptoms, and his greatest man power against you with death, man, we rose him up and set him above all of that. And you and me, who were dead in trespass and sin, has God raised up and made us to sit together with Christ Jesus. So you just make it a pagan holiday and you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, when the whole purpose for it is to know that, boy, God has given you power of death and that you too have been raised from the dead. So not only just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, celebrate your resurrection with it, because you've been raised with him. And it's a guarantee that death has no more power over our lives, that we do have everlasting life, that is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the resurrection. And in the resurrection, then is everlasting life. Listen, I bring you greetings in closing for my wife, Gail, and I, and my family, my children, Tori, Jesse, Nikki, Tamika, and all our family. And we bring to you greetings from God and from the kingdom of heaven. We're just representatives of the kingdom of heaven. And all our desires is for you to know the truth. Because you coming to the knowledge of the truth that you know will set you free. This our will. This our desire. That you be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spirit.